A62. Number 3B.
Okay, so are we clear about the necessity of concept building and how far it goes and how and where its limitations are? Limitations are there where we can see that we cannot stop with the concept building, because that's only getting clear in our mind that we have a perfect concept which is free from human conceptions. But then, really, we should see that this is a spiritual idea and therefore has a spiritual impact. Therefore, the second point is the tonality building, which is what? How do we arrive at that point where we feel that this perfect concept, which is now the idea, that this is not something anymore which we have to think about? As long as we have a feeling we have to think about God, we know that we have not the consciousness of God. It is a step towards, and a right step towards, but we are not there. So, at the time that we began to study the seventh synonymous term, John Dolly would tell us that now, once we have this list of ideas of every synonymous term, that we should now ponder them, that we should now spiritually contemplate the inner meaning of these ideas of mind. Just contemplate, what do they mean? How are they related? The moment you begin to relate idea with idea, you really begin to get the spiritual touch of it, the spiritual import of it. So the relationships are that which culture the spirituality within us, the spiritual sense within us. So we could see last time that actually this is a great assignment that we had for this year and that we have for all the years to come. See, what I want to bring out, that this assignment of this year was only trying now that to see if we come together, if we have found the right method, so that for all the years to come we can use these assignments over and over and over. It is one of the most important things to sit down quietly and just go over these ideas that belong to one synonymous term, contemplate them, ponder them, ask questions about them, how are they related to each other, why are they in the category of one synonymous term, why are they in that column, why do they belong to mind, why don't they belong to spirit or soul? All these are questions which we now interject into this concept, and they all have a wonderful ability, namely, like a seed that takes root, to grow, to unfold within ourselves. So, at that point, we would arrive, as we do that over a certain period of time, more and more, that slowly we would just think about mind. No more about the ideas of mind. Mind then is that which is the compound term of all the ideas which we have been contemplating and intra-relating within themselves, so that they stand out as a sense as a tone, as a divine feeling, whatever you may call it. It's no more a thinking process. So we get the tone of it, and we free ourselves of terms. See, we started out with terms in concept building, and now we free ourselves from these terms. You can see that we are here at the point where the mystics also try to be, but they start out from the feelings. Whereas we come to this point through a great clarification of terms and of concept. And so, as we do that, we come to the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. Now you can see, this is something no one can teach the other. I cannot teach you tonality. What is the tonality of mind? This is an individual achievement. And you can see that actually we can no more be teachers in this science. We can only be people who show a method. But we cannot put over what we know to the student. I cannot put over my tonality of the seven synonymous terms to you. I wouldn't know how. I can talk about the tonality. I can for hours talk about what mind means to me and what spirit means to me and what soul means to me. And I can use terms that are not in the textbook. I can use symbols and illustrations from the Bible that bring out mind. I can do that. But the tonality I cannot convey so that you have it. You can only listen to it just as you listen to an orchestra and say, this is beautiful, this is really wonderful, I wish I had it. But by listening to an orchestra, to a symphony, we can't play the symphony. Anyway, I can't. That is sure. So, can you see, we can no more teach really Christian science. The only thing we can do is to show the method or teach the method, but not the subject. The method how each one, by culturing it, arrives at that point. So here is the method that brings us to what? That brings us really to that new language of spirit. If we think or are aware in tones of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, if we are aware of that tonality, then we have touched the language of spirit. Because that is then something which we entertain, which we hear, without that words are being spoken. It is as if it were what the linguists of today call the deep structure language. You know, they say that language is something that exists at the level of a deep structure. Language exists as an idea, so to say, and that every human language, be it now Chinese or Japanese or English or Arabian, is a surface language, is a surface language of that deep structure language. That deep structure language is here, is somewhere here as an idea. And it comes up to the surface as various human languages. Therefore, this is the interesting point which they bring out. Say, we as, I nearly said we as American, huh? I'm getting identified with America, which I wouldn't mind. We have those Western languages, and it seems so difficult for us to learn Japanese or Chinese or these languages. Huh? I think this must be awfully difficult, huh? Because they seem so far away from our feel of language. It's much easier to learn, say, for you, French and German, because there is some kind of a relationship there. But the funny thing is that, if as Americans you would have a child and you would be living in China, those children would learn Chinese very easily, no difficulty, just as easily as the Chinese children. Isn't that interesting? Meaning really, because there is a deep structural language, everyone can learn easily the surface structural language, and it is not dependent on the race or of anything. So that an American child growing up in China just learns Chinese just as easily as it learns English here. Which indicates something, that there is, and that's what the modern linguists bring out, that there is in being, in communication, in the idea of communication, in the idea of information, there is a structural language with a grammar, with its own grammar, that is so fundamental that it is fundamental to every language. Now, if we go a step deeper, we will find, yes, this structural language, deep structural language, is actually the language of spirit. There is a language of spirit, there is a language of communication with reality that is there, and we only have to get used to that language. This tonality building is actually beginning to hear and to know and to speak that language of spirit. Where we sit down in our chair comfortably and think about reality, may give a treatment for a certain case, for a certain patient, what are we doing? We don't give an English treatment. We don't give a German treatment. We give a treatment in the spiritual communication. We communicate spiritually, and therefore mind speaks to mind in a spiritual way. The practitioner and the patient are then on a common language basis, which has nothing to do with English, with German, with French, which has actually only to do with the language of spirit. We can see how important it was that even in the Gospels, you see, they began to say they will speak in a new tongue. We never knew what that new tongue would be. So say, what is that new tongue? What is it? It isn't German, it isn't Chinese, it isn't Arabian, it isn't Hebrew. It is the language of spiritual tonality, of having ideas, definite ideas of spirituality, grammar of spiritual ideas, the syntax of spiritual ideas, where we know exactly how to relate in the syntax of spiritual language ideas with ideas, the relationship of ideas with ideas, the flow from cause to effect, from ideas to other ideas. That's the language we know. And that's the communication which we use in treatment or in contemplating reality. Yes, but we could ask, or you may have been asking by doing these exercises, do I now already know a little bit this tonality? And that naturally again is something which nobody outside of you, somebody else, can really tell you. There is no possibility like in another science to make a test and say, all right, you make this exercise and I give you a mark for it. You know it, you don't know it, you know it well or you don't know it well. You have to test it yourself. You have to know yourself. Are you spiritually flowing in these terms, in these tones? Does it flow within your consciousness? Is it something that is so easy? You feel that when you are thinking about mind, you have a feeling that you have to use your brain and your memory to know what belongs on the mind. You have to use your memory and say, now, what is under that on that list? Is power on that list? Is strength on that list under mind? Is substance under mind or not? If you have that, and you have a test for yourself that you know, you don't know it. Huh? I have not yet touched the tonality of it. Only then when you yourself feel that you are flowing very easily, that these ideas just pour in, that you haven't, that you don't have to put them in, but that they pour out to your consciousness, and you feel they flow easily, and you get the tone of it, then you know that you approach the tonality of it. Is that clear, or would you like to discuss that point? It's an important point, you see, because it's no use, you see, to fool oneself. That's one thing we have to be quite clear in this syllabus class. The syllabus class should really be that which is training and culturing the student slowly, step by step, over years, into the spiritual language. And there is no use to fool oneself and say, well, I have done a lot of study on this, and I think I have done now a lot. I like to get on, and I like to take on other subjects. That doesn't work. It is something that each one has to check for himself and get sure, is it so that the ideas of mind just flow and flow and flow? I don't have to think about it. They come to me. They attract the other ideas. But when you think about mind, about the creator of mind, that you just feel that that attracts all the other ideas of mind. That it says, all right, then that's the first thing that happens. It's therefore the cause of everything, and therefore with mind everything starts. It is the first thing that goes. And that therefore, in order to be the creator, it must have within itself the terrific power and action to bring forth something, and it just flows, you know, it just flows from one idea to the other idea. If that flows easily, you somehow can say to yourself, all right, I get it now slowly. Until finally, doing that over months and years, you feel your flow just in mind, in spirit, in soul, principle, and these become really terrific information values, great information values, not words anymore. And this is a point, try to be honest with you. I can't check it. Nobody can check it on you. You have to be honest with you, and be honest with you. I say that because I've seen that most students that have been studying along the line of John Dolly missed the boat, most of them. They all missed the boat. They were happy with knowing terms, just terms. They could rattle off all the terms on the mind. But there was no flow in it. There was no tonality in it. And the moment they had to see that tonality in an experience in the world, the moment they had to see that tonality in a text in the Bible, the moment they had to see that tonality in a book they were reading about anything, they couldn't see the tones. See? Whereas if we get that sense, you see, then we are becoming independent of terms. That's another test for yourself. You can test yourself, have I got the tone? And you become independent of terms. Yeah. So you see, first we are hot on terms. Huh? Say, the terms must be clear, and the terms must be right. Huh? We are very hot, and the terms are right, the concepts are right, the concepts are perfect. And then when we get it, we say, now you can let it go. Huh? Yes. But that's the order. We can't put that order upside down. All right. That would be tonality building. What happens afterward in our spiritual development? Once we feel the synonymous terms, well, as we culture that more and more, they become us. That's what I call consciousness building. They constitute then our consciousness. What is the signs of such a consciousness building? What is the use of it? What is the practicality of it? And so I just want to speak again a bit about consciousness building, which we arrive through tonality building. When the spiritual language becomes our being, our language, it means that our consciousness is now formed and molded by the seven, no more by the human language, which means that with that new consciousness we read differently. With the human language we read English, we read German, we read French. Yes, we read English terms. With the spiritual consciousness we read ideas, no more terms. And that is that important point of mind reading, what Mrs. Eddy calls divine mind reading. Well, divine mind reading has nothing to do with reading a book in German or English or French or anything. Divine mind reading is reading what is written out, all those informations in the world, in reality, and can read what's going on in reality. And what's going on in reality are not terms, but ideas. And so we begin to get into that sense of divine mind reading, which Mrs. Eddy calls that it is reading really ideas. And so we approach the whole universe, so to say, with that divine mind reading consciousness, and can read not people, not experiences, not happenings, but ideas at work behind that surface, huh? Behind really people and happenings and so on, and read the ideational world, the ideational history, the ideational happening. We read what's going on in the realm of ideas. And that, I think, is rather clear. I mean, theoretically now. Huh? That with a consciousness of the seven synonymous terms, you can only read what the seven synonymous terms know. And the seven synonymous terms do not know countries, do not know a government of a country, do not know a family, do not know a business, do not know people, do not know a body, do not know anything except only the realm of ideas. Mind, the ideas of the seven synonymous terms do not know anything else but their own ideas. They do not know a world of sickness, of body, of people, etc. They do not know it. You see, that belongs all to the human language, and to human conceptions. So that at the point of consciousness building, our consciousness has such a structure that is defined by the seven synonymous terms, that we begin to read spiritually what's going on. And that naturally is necessary for practice, but that also is necessary for the preventive art of Christian Science. Therefore, can you see what is the practical import of that state? There's, so to say, two sides. It is the preventive art and it's the curative art. As the preventive art, it is constantly reading ideas, only ideas. And it has, and it is that, see, which enables us to read what is not seen, to read the spiritual cause of all what is happening. That's what it does. So often people say, well, in Christian Science, the teaching is that an error has to be corrected by the specific truth about this error, and therefore you have to deal with a specific truth. How do you know that specific truth? That's the great question then. How do you know what is the specific truth? How can we know? There's only one way, and that is through divine consciousness. Never by going out from a situation and trying to reverse it. We can't do that. Error never serves as a way mark to truth. Only when we go out from the synonymous term, and therefore have a consciousness of the synonymous term, we have within ourselves a pure spiritual grid, so to say, through which all the experiences filter through, and the spiritual sense within ourselves just can spot what is actually at work spiritually. You see? So, in order to have that faculty of being able to detect through spiritual sense what's going on behind the scene, that faculty is only be built up through concept building, tonality building, consciousness building. Therefore you can see the method that we have to see here. Namely, that this exercises here, that these assignments for the syllabus class are actually for a general culturing of our consciousness, not just for trying to find an answer to a specific problem, but that we are culturing us into a consciousness that remains, because once we have touched the divine consciousness, we can never lose it again. That's something that is definite. Once you have touched the reality of things, we can never lose them again. So that we have within ourselves a sounding board, or a grid, so to say, and every experience that comes to us is transformed in that spiritual consciousness to the point where we can sense what is the spiritual idea ruling in the case, and act as a preventive or as a curative. All right.